Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hey there, it's JVL. On The Secret Show with Sarah Longwell today, we talked about Will Hurd and what Ron DeSantis' polling numbers mean, and a new survey from Pew that really gets at the heart of what Democrats and Republicans really want. Here's the show. But this morning, I want to start with something good, which is this morning, Will Hurd, just a few moments ago, was on CNN, and he told Caitlin Collins, no, I won't support Donald Trump if he's the nominee.
Yeah,
that's great. Isn't that great? Isn't that what we want?
Yeah, so I got to say, I do think, I want to give a little credit here to Chris Christie, because I think what Chris Christie did was build some permission structures within the primary field to start going after Donald Trump. And I think that it is giving, courage to some other people, right? Like now there's Asa, Will, and Christie who are all saying they won't support Donald Trump. Christie, I actually really like his whole, like, I'll sign the pledge, but I'm not going to honor it. Donald Trump wouldn't honor it.
Remember I did a whole riff on this, that this is exactly what they should do. They should say, sure, they should literally say that. They should say, yeah, I will sign the pledge and then I won't iron honor it. And what are you going to do? Boom. Right. This is their move.
Typically by making the point that Donald Trump's not going to honor it. So why should they?
Right.
That like, you know, that because there has been this two-tier justice system, if you will.
Mm.
There's been this this idea where, like, everyone knows Donald Trump's not going to honor that, but, like, these other people are bound to it. It's absurd. So the RNC is a joke, and they should treat it thusly.
As such, yeah.
But I got to say, the Will Hurd getting in thing is – so Will Hurd was on the short list. The reason I know him a little bit, the short list for people we thought should primary Donald Trump way back in
2019.
Yeah, like 2019. Yeah, exactly. Going into the 2020 election. Obviously, he didn't.
That's probably for the best, as it turns out.
I don't think so.
No? Oh, really? Okay.
I think if Larry Hogan or Will Hurd or someone like Adam, like, I think if somebody back then had really stepped up early and made a big play at a challenge, I think that would have done more to solidify their brand and their potential as a future in the party than waiting for the party to become just so intensely magnified and, like, in, you know, Hogan's case, not even bothering.
I can see that.
In Hurd's case, right, he's just a young guy who's thinking, I want to, you know, everyone else is in. I might as well raise my name ID. I might as well go hard against Trump. And I might as well try to, you know, play for a future where the Republican Party would elect somebody like me. And I think that's fine. I think it's fine. I think it's not likely to pay off. Certainly not this cycle. But I think it's a fine thing to do. I do think it's a market signal, though, about the weakness of the field. Everyone's looking. Rick Scott thinks he might get in, right? Everybody's looking at DeSantis saying...
It's a market signal on DeSantis, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's right.
So there was... I don't know if you paid attention to this on Twitter yesterday. I didn't really pay attention to it, but I had people muling it to me. Larry Hogan said something negative about DeSantis's chances.
Yeah, he said he'd be done. I saw it.
Okay, so what did he say exactly?
He said that he didn't think DeSantis was running a particularly good campaign and that he was based almost out of it.
So the anti DeSantis stands lost their ever loving minds over this yesterday on Twitter. Like,
I'm at a conference, so I saw like the clip. The reactions, tell me.
Oh my gosh, the most unhinged, also like as if he's the Bulwark candidate. A lot of Bulwark tie-ins with Hogan, which again, I think is kind of funny since there are people at the Bulwark who are not super into St. Larry. But here's what bothered me.
I am, though.
I know. Here's what bothered me about this, though, which again, I think is a market signal. I'm going to write about this today. If Ron DeSantis is a great candidate who's going to win the nomination, then Ron DeSantis is a great candidate who's going to win the nomination. And Larry Hogan saying that Ron DeSantis is a weak candidate who doesn't look particularly good and looks like he's not going to win doesn't change anything.
Right.
I mean, this is why get mad at this guy looking at the car. It's like saying that car doesn't look very fast to me. Well, what does it matter what this guy says looking at the car? Either the car is fast or it isn't. And the fact that these people are freaking out like this and go crazy, like, you know, talking about Bill Kristol and blowjobs and Bulwark and Larry.
Where did blowjobs come in?
It was Larry Hogan trying to fellate Bill Kristol. I'm telling you, just insanity from the usual anti brigades. And I just don't understand that, because again, if DeSantis is so great, as Mark Zuckerberg says in The Social Network, when he's talking about the Winklevi twins, if you had invented Facebook, then you would have invented Facebook.
Yeah.
And if Ron DeSantis is a great candidate who's going to win, then he's a great candidate who's going to win. And it doesn't matter what Larry Hogan says. Why get upset?
Right. So, you know, I was having this conversation yesterday with somebody, and they were sort of trying to make the argument that the reason DeSantis still really had a chance is because what was going to happen is that DeSantis was going to be the only viable person running close to second, and everybody else was going to drop out and endorse him, and that was going to make him formidable, because that's what the Democrats did, right? I was talking to a Democrat. So she's thinking about things like a Democrat. And I was like, the difference between Democrats and Republicans are thus. Number one, if Nikki Haley and Jeb, you know, and Chris Christie and Will Hurd and all of the normies suddenly drop out and endorse Ron DeSantis,
that hurts DeSantis.
A net negative. Okay. That is not like Buttigieg and, you know, everybody else dropping out to endorse Biden. Okay. So that's one big difference. The second big difference is that there's a ton of structural incentives for all of these guys to attack DeSantis right now, because we're far enough out that they think, well, somebody, DeSantis isn't strong enough to be the number two, but so they all want to be the number two, right? The only way to get mano a mano with Trump is to be the number two person. And that means going through DeSantis first. And so the whole field is after not Trump, they're after DeSantis. And it's just a structural difference that makes it, I think, harder for DeSantis. And then third is they all smell DeSantis's weakness, right? If everybody thought DeSantis was strong, they might sort of sit back, but they don't. They think he's weak. They think he doesn't have it. The deeper they get into the campaign, the more convinced they are he doesn't have it. It's not like they're getting persuaded the other way. And so I just see it as like fundamentally different and bad for him. He is not gaining. Have you seen a single signal, whether it's a poll or anything else, that he is gaining traction rather than losing traction?
There is a single American greatness poll of Iowa voters in which he looks to have moved a little bit in Iowa. That's it.
Okay.
And it's American greatness. So I don't, believe it or not believe it. Can I add one more thing though? Because this is a misremembering of history on the part of people. Joe Biden led the national polling wire to wire. The moment in which Joe Biden looked weak was following the absolute clusterfuck in Iowa, where nobody actually has any idea what happened in Iowa. Iowa, nobody, they were trying ranked choice voting, and Iowa just blew up on the launch pad.
It was a caucus, but they were trying like a tabulation system, like an online tabulation system.
But they had introduced a ranked choice element to it, I think.
I don't know, man. It was a caucus.
It is a caucus, right. But they were like, whatever. The point is, there was bad things happening in Iowa. Nobody knew what the results were in Iowa. And then you go to New Hampshire, which is next door to Bernie. And so is almost like a home state for Bernie. And then all of a sudden, it looked like Bernie had the momentum to surge ahead of Biden. Biden was not down 30 points to Bernie.
Yeah.
It was at the point in the case that Biden was losing by 30 points, and then Klobuchar and Pete got out and endorsed him and rocketed him up the... They just shored him up. And right. Then, you know, he went to places where his real strengths could bear. Like, what is that version for DeSantis, right? The idea that you could just make up so much ground, and everybody's like, yeah, national polls don't matter. They kind of matter. They kind of matter, right? National polls don't matter if it's pure name ID going on.
It matters when the gap's that big, because it just, like, that can be a polling miss. It could even be a big polling miss. But it's not missing a fundamental truth, which is that Donald Trump is way out ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. But back to Will Hurd. Again, I was meaner to Will Hurd yesterday than I really wanted to be.
I'm sorry, but you have to tell me what your newsletter said. I'm at a thing. I just didn't read it. So tell me.
The nub of it is Will Hurd, who, again, I like a ton. I don't know him at all. Never met the guy. But who in on paper I love. If he lived next door to me, we would be best buddies. We'd be barbecuing together every weekend with our families, I'm sure. If he was the president of the United States, I would be perfectly happy and convinced that America was in good hands. If he won the Republican nomination, I'd be thrilled. Right, all of the, I just need to caveat all of that. But for him, who is constantly talking about how he is Mr. New, he loves nuance and he loves complicated, as he told The Atlantic in an interview a couple of years ago, he opens his campaign ad by just spewing out a bunch of like wild exaggerations and partisan nonsense about how inflation is out of control and crime and homelessness are rising in our cities and Joe Biden either can't or won't do anything about it. I just like went through the numbers. Like, you know, inflation is now at the lowest point it's been in 2 years. It's not out of control. We actually just in the last 2 weeks got in big preliminary crime numbers on murder rates. We seem to be seeing the largest decline in murder rates in maybe American history, down like 12% in cities so far year to date. It's preliminary data, but we don't know. But my point is, Will Hurd is going to get 2%. No matter what he does. If he runs a totally honorable campaign, he'll get 2%. And if he ran the most MAGA campaign, he'll get 2%. For him to get 2% while pretending that Joe Biden is a socialist is actually a net harm to the body politic, because he normalizes like the insane version of the criticisms of the Biden administration. And there, you know, as I said in the newsletter, like, and I spent like two paragraphs in the newsletter, like, here are 15 things that a Republican could criticize the Biden administration on, right? I mean, it's not like the guy's perfect. There's a lot to work with. But this is my disappointment with Hurd, a guy who could make an honest, good faith argument isn't. He's just making the same arguments against Biden that DeSantis and Trump are. And if he had to do that to win the nomination, that would be one thing. But he's doing that in service of getting his 2%. And that's not cool.
Yeah. I don't know. This one's hard for me just because, like, what's he gonna? He's not gonna run for the Republican nomination and not criticize the opponent of the other party.
Lots to do that. Talk about Afghanistan. Talk about illegal immigration. You could talk about spending, right? I mean, they're boring things. You could talk about the student loan.
People care about illegal immigration.
Hmm.
I said people care about illegal immigration.
Yeah, you talk about that stuff. It's weird. But he's doing this because, this is the other thing I want to talk about, this is what the people want to talk about, as evidenced by this big...
These are the issues that animate Republican voters.
Hey again, it's JVL. The conversation goes on from there. If you want to hear the rest of the show, head on over to Bulwark Plus and subscribe. We'd love to have you.
into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.